Je parlerai en français seulement pour 30 secondes. Merci beaucoup. Nous, avec Nicolas Moore et Bernardo Bego, we are very old friends. But I can speak, I can say easily that we are old friends because we are friends from the last century. The last century ended 8 years ago only. It means we can say this very easily without problem, age problem. And I must speak. I studied French at school, but a long time ago. I can use a few words. Of course, the mauvais words after my teacher here in front. And now, if I'm not clear when I'm speaking in English, please stop me and we try to speak in Italian. Or in Padano. Padano is the future European language. The boss of Padano is Mr. Bossi. This topic that you can see there, ecopharmacovigilance, is, from a certain point of view, is an evolution. Because I started my activity as a basic pharmacologist after I passed from being a mouse killer to be human killer. Mouse was very pleased for this. And the other part of my life, which has been always very keen on ecological problems. And this explains maybe, at least for me, this is the reason why this joint venture between drugs and eco problems. And I will speak on this topic in an enthusiastic way. I hope you will get my message in the end, because I trust that it's time to finish to speak on drugs related only to the human species. And we should consider the drug something which concerns also the environment. Nicholas was saying this is something, a big, very big problem, very big point. But when I will be fed up of this, my future point will be the space pharmacology. This is, I don't know when, yes, this, the role. And because I was very often talking of space pharmacology, a friend of us, Professor Mike Horme, who is he was professor of clinical pharmacology in UK. In the end, he was saying to me, look, Gianpaolo, if you carry on in this way, we will send you to the space. At that point, I stopped for a short time. Now let's go. You know, to go to the space, you know when you go, but you don't know when you come back. That can be a problem. Okay, let's go. The ecopharmacovigilance. I like to start my presentation with these two phrases by Al Gore. Of course, everybody knows Al Gore, published in the New York Times last year. And I will read, and I'm asking you to look very careful these two phrases. We, the human species, have arrived at a moment of decision. Of course, the ecological problem is much, much bigger than only question of drugs. It's a huge problem. The drugs are, we can say, a part, maybe a small part of this problem. But the vision of Al Gore, of course, certainly is a total vision. Have arrived at the moment of decision. It is unprecedented and even laughable for us to imagine that we could actually make a conscious choice as a species. This is an important word, species, not humans. But that is nevertheless the challenge that is before us. This is an axiom. Our home, Earth, is in danger. What is at risk of being destroyed is not the planet itself, but the conditions that have made it hospitable for human beings. Okay, this is are two terrific phrases, very impressive phrases, but of course linked to the all ecological problems. And drugs are part of these problems. I'm not, I was just saying are not certainly the most important, but if you think, if we think the ozone, all these kind of things, that is really a problem. If we think of the change in climate, the change of temperature, in South America, in the south of Patagonia, icebergs are dissolving. These are all problems that if we don't take care, really, we will destroy not only the human species, not tomorrow, but you need many generations, but will be. And the risk in this situation is to go on without considering and to arrive to a no return point. This is the big risk of the problem. No, sorry. Nicholas and Professor Moro was talking of a meeting last year, two years ago in Verona. The word was ecopharmacology at the time because we were at the beginning after we made we changed a little the name because it was more correct from our point of view to speak on ecopharmacovigilance more than ecopharmacology. Ecopharmacology could be something much more wide and maybe less comprehensible. And this has been organized with Professor Kummerer. Kummerer is from Fribourg and is a very big authority on this field. Just to give you an idea of how much the topic was interesting for newspaper. This is Corriere della Sera, is the biggest Italian newspaper. Okay, sorry. It's adverse effects in the environment and etc. Drugs resist. This is, I think, a point to be kept in mind. Some drugs resist pharmacologically active for years in the environment because they have been built, structured to be active for a very long time. And later we will talk on a different approach on this point related to the ecopharmacovigilance approach. We don't need to have drugs keeping the activity for years, years, years. We need now to have drugs active when they are in the human or other animal species, but becoming disactive when they go to the environment. This is another different approach. It's an approach that some, I can say, clever drug companies is following. It's following with this approach and also enlarging the approach to the green chemistry or green drugs, but we will talk later on this. Okay. I show this one because I like my picture there. Not for but it was funny, that picture, I must say. He was there and he knows. It was funny because it was my first time. This has been a picture made in Argentina. Clarín is, I think, one of the biggest newspapers in Argentina. And by chance, I talked with a journalist. The Clarín journal was very interesting. They came to make an interview. But the point, I'm little used to this. But the funny was, before came a photographer, was also a nice young girl with an Italian name, Ceruti. Ceruti is a very famous per la lana, for the wood in Italy. And I was like, like an automa. She was saying to me, stay there, go there, watch there, and here are the results. Okay, little cycle, the little water cycle. This is but it is true. And it is true. And this remembers me the time when I was working in London. I do not say the time, but it was a long time ago. Last century, anyway. Yes, the second, not the first one. And there were my friends, English friends from there, saying, look, you are drinking the pee, the Londoner pee. It means the Londoner urine. Yes, it is. You have the man just come going down, and London is at that time was 8 million of people, and now I think it's maybe more. Of course, we drink. And this is a point that will come later again. Now people are becoming anxious because there is a lot in the newspapers. This is the wrong point, because we should do a difference between alarm. Alarm is something not serious. There is something related to a drug. There is serivastatin causing rhabdomyolysis. That is an alarm. But when the alarm goes to the newspaper, often becomes, alarmism. Alarmism is something of the deteriorated, no good. The alarm or alarmism is also in the Associated Press. Last September, many Associated Press, the American Associated Press, has written a few lines on drugs in the tap water. If you put in a newspaper that you drink the tap water, yes, the tap water, and you get drugs, you can have two results, one good, one bad, and one good. One bad is the alarmism, because things must be more clear. The good one is that you get drugs without pain. That is the good one. Life is a balance often. Yes, okay. Anyway, these few examples on location where drugs has been found. Prozac, everybody knows that Prozac is one of the most popular drugs, and especially in UK and in northern countries, because they are more sad because the climate reasons, they get alcohol, Prozac, and some very, very, very nice cocktails. In Italy has been found cocaine in the Po River, and the interesting was that the increase of the level of cocaine in the River Po, an increase of level of cocaine in the River Po was found particularly during the weekend. Because during the weekend, cocaine is more pleasant to get, is a recreative drug, and like these kind of things. Antidepressant, antipyletis, okay, you find also in Canada. Here you have another example. You have a center in Canada watching on these kind of problems. And the center is located in Trent University. And this center was found pharmaceuticals. You can see there are drugs of very large use. And I will remind you estrogens. Estrogens, talking in a wide way, hormone substances. But for estrogens, that is maybe the big problem. Consider that in the world, approximately 500 millions of women are considered taking estrogens. And if you remember the water cycle, you can also imagine how big quantity of estrogens goes to the environment. But you have also analgesic, anti-inflammatory, antibiotics, beta blockers, all drugs of very large use. And apart this, you have, of course, flagrants, lotion, skin. Here is not, there is not the material for cleaning the teeth, but all these kind of things are contaminating the environment. Anyway, the largest flow of drugs into the environment comes from people who are under medical treatment. Consider where there is a very, very large, very big concentration of drugs. Consider, for instance, oncological centers, radiological centers, and any other hospital centers where drugs are concentrated. I'm certain that if you find the measure, if you make the measures here, I hope if I have a grant, we will be able to do in the Hospital of Verona. If you make the measure here, you find a huge amount of this kind of drugs. And that is a problem, because after this kind of drugs goes to the environment through different filters. Filters which are not the ideal for filtering drugs. Drugs are eliminated from the body, either in unchanged form or as metabolites in fishes and urine, and find its way to sewage treatment plants. STP, it means exactly sewage treatment plants. I found this is a very recent publication, quite interesting. Is a collaboration between, I think Richmond is from Exeter, and Castenson is from Stockholm. The people more interested in this topic today are the Swedish people, to be honest. Some drugs have been found in drinking water, etc., which is a warning sign that the current handling of pharmaceuticals may lead to future health and environment problems. May. There is no certainty. There is a positive evidence of an endocrine disruption effect. This is another key point linked to the hormones that we found in the environment, on aquatic life. What means this? Even if it is difficult to be certain 100%, because some fishes change physiologically sex, it means that this makes more difficult, but there is the feeling, strong feeling, that can the ratio between male and female in some animal species. And why fishes? Because fishes, they live in the water. And they are always in contact with these substances. This is the reason. Should be the same for us if we live in the water. But fortunately, we stay not in the water for this reason. And with reports on feminization of male fish, notably the Rutilus rutilus, well, I don't know what means rock, causing intersex species, which kind of fish it is, or developing of ova in the testes, where estrogens, etc., are present at the level of one part per billion. Very small amount, very difficult to detect. But if these changes are present, or we suspect are present with such small amounts, this is another point that we should consider very seriously. How drugs later behave in the environment, what happens in the long term, will depend on their chemical and physical properties, of course. Drugs and their metabolites may be divided roughly into three groups. The most powerful drugs, as you know, are between drugs we can call chemical drugs, due to synthesis of from chemical substances. But we should also start to take in consideration the new drugs, and on the new drugs we know very little. But the approaches could be different, because here we have something to do with chemical drugs. With the new drugs, it means biological drugs, they are not chemical drugs, genic products. The things are becoming more complicated also for this reason. Anyway, just give a look to the few words. Drugs that break down rapidly, and these, they are destroyed very fast. Drugs that are both water-soluble and stable, and these are destroyed less fast. Drugs that are fat-soluble and stable. These two classes are the most critical classes, because these kind of groups, these groups are stable, more or less stable, and to be stable, it means to have the possibility to move from the filter side. If this is the filter side, they can move far away, and they can also be resist for a long time. Talking of resistance, I forgot to say you before, another important problem concerning this issue is the antibiotic resistance. Antibiotics, in the environment, there is a summation between drugs used in men and drugs used in veterinary. And antibiotics are used in a huge amount in veterinary therapy. But really, for anything, antibiotics. Antibiotics and hormones. These are very... And this can be a problem because this is a problem of antibiotic problem, the resistant problem, which can contribute to the antibiotic resistance when we look in the general way.
Just, yeah. Rutilus is the, in French is called gardon.
Gardon.
Yes, small fish.
Small fish. Is a river fish?
Yes. Yeah.
Gardon. In Italian, I don't know. In Italian. Mm. I was talking before of Associated Press, AP. Oh, it's a nice color.
That was before.
Before this. Show me after. No more. Dissolved. Trace amounts of pharmaceuticals in drinking water supplies has shown that more Americans are affected by the problem they previously thought. At least 46 million. I don't know the figure, the number figure. But when you read in Associated Press information like this one, you become anxious. This could be good if you pass from water to wine, because it should be interesting to measure these drugs and after to make some business. This is good, this is not, it's good. Yeah, it could be. And Mendoza is the same, is another day, Associated Press, was able to project an annual national estimate of at least 250 million pounds of pharmaceuticals, and the contaminants are in a huge amount. Certainly, even if the quantity, and I'm always saying that the quantity are very small, and this is another problem we will talk late at midnight, is another point to keep in mind. Now, you have a division between drinking water. I try to go a little slow, a little faster. You have substances like bezafibrate, carbamazepine. It's been found in the beginning, the first time was in 94, after in 2001, and after in 2000. It's not an exhaustive literature, but just a few examples to show you. Some examples still in the drinking water. You see that you have drugs working on lipids, carbamazepine, which is an anti-epileptic, and also is...
saying there's no problem, there's nothing in France.
No, because no test in France. The exclusion is because no test. Yes, carbamazepine, anti-epileptic on trigeminal neuralgia. Diazepam, diclofenac. The majority of studies, okay, this will. Now we pass to water. We were at tap water. Now we pass to water courses because drugs diffuse everywhere. And tap water, and another critical issue is that tap water, it comes from deep. But now also the deep water in the ground is contaminated because always more substances. If you go around, we are not talking of drugs now, but if you go around the motorways, you find leather, full of leather, but just close because...
Plomb.
But very close because plomb is very heavy, doesn't go out, doesn't... And there we have close to Verona. No, I cannot say because I'm Bordeaux. Because we are in competition with Bordeaux for the wine.
No.
I don't know, say, I keep secret. Okay, we can reverse. If you go to the motorway in Bordeaux, you find along the motorways plenty of plomb. And there you find many vigna. At this point, my message, drink the Verona wine, not the Bordeaux wine. I'm paid for this, yeah? And you have antibiotics, hormone preparation, okay. when medicines are used or misused, why misused? Because everybody of us knows that often drugs are misused or are used not correctly. There can be some serious and damaging consequences to our global environment and ecosystem. The pharmaceutical chemicals in the environment can also affect men chronically, causing many unwanted interactions, compromising human responses to medicines, contributing to drug resistance. Drug resistance is not terrorism, mine, but just it's just a message to think about. You, through the water, you can drink a lot of or drugs. You don't need these drugs because you take blindly. And why not some effects as a consequence of these drugs that you get in an indirect way? We should remember, just for teaching purposes, that we have also some adverse effects, type B. Type B should be independently from the doses. Can be a very low doses. This can be something to be thought about. I'm not saying that at that very low doses you can have a type B effect, but we cannot say that we don't have. You know what I mean? It's just, and for this, for one of the reasons, but also many other reasons, that we should apply in these cases a principle which I trust very much, is the precautionary principle. Generally, from toxicologists, the precautionary principle, it means to have the disaster and after to do something. It's much better to avoid the disaster and to do something, even if you are not certain of the cause or of causes. Because we are clinical pharmacologists, of course, more rational drug use could be very helpful for the patient and for the ecosystem. More rational drug use, it means less drugs. This no doubt. No doubt, because drugs are part of consumerism. Part of consumerism, like shoes, like watches, trousers, and so on. And if you make more correct or more rational prescriptions, of course you have a reduction on use of drugs. And also a consistent reduction, To my students I say, but they watch me very in funny way, it is sometimes rational drug use means no use. I made one example, a very easy example. If you have a flu, you don't need anything. If the flu is complicated, maybe you need antibiotics, but otherwise no. And is the use of antibiotics with flu is a lot. Drugs, etc., have also ongoing effect in humans, causing adverse effects and or unwanted and annoying consumption of unnecessary drugs. What this means? That you get a cocktail of small amounts of drugs without knowing which drugs. You know which drugs you take when you take after a prescription or when you go to the pharmacist. But if you take from the water, you don't know anything. And watching the list of drugs in the tap water, you can assume that you get a different small amount or many different kind of drugs. The effect of chronic exposure of this to this low level or level of drugs or pollutants on humans remains unknown. And arguments to apply the precautionary principle, and now we go to the precautionary principle, have been made as a reason for action into reducing the presence of pharmaceuticals in the environment. But do not forget that the concentrations are well below therapeutic levels. are well below acute toxic effects. But we don't know the significance in humans of interactions between multiple drugs at low concentrations ingested over the whole lifespan. We must think and act on a precautionary basis. There are many things in these conditions we don't know. And why we should stay quiet and do nothing? We try at this point to reduce the, we should try, the suggestion is to try to reduce the impact of drugs in the environment. And this can be done at different levels, but we will see later the different levels. Precautionary principle, this is just a definition can be discussed, of course, between us. We should not deny risks simply because they are less than certain. On the contrary, we should ensure that we know in advance the possible damages to human health and the environment so that we can prevent them. We should not deny risks because they are not certain. Also, when they are uncertain, can be risk. If we consider special population, infants, children, pregnant women, type B reaction, are dose concentration dependent. These are are some cases we should not forget. Yes. Till now we didn't get any definition of ecopharmacovigilance. A definition could be this one, concerns the adverse events related to drugs within the ecosystem with all consequences in human and other organisms in the environment. We have, could be also say, because I'm a human, I divide a human from the other organism, but can be also all organisms in the environment, all animal species. Okay, just a short explanation of this, but this is very easy slide. We have medicines, here we have a veterinary. In the end, we have a summation between in the soil, in the drinking water, in the groundwater, in the surface water. And the use of drugs for veterinary, trust me, is a huge amount. You remember, there was a very famous example a long time ago. I think it was from Holland, the steak. It was Holland steak, very famous, very good. You cook you beautiful meat, full of water. In fact, after cooking, there was a big reduction. And you know what was used to have this beautiful swollen steak? Steroids. And cases, adverse effects, cases of children with breast. This is literature. Maybe I think it was 80, 85. But this.
Veal steak, yes.
Essentially, veal steak. No beef steak, veal steak. This is a historical example of food contamination with drugs. But still now, because now we eat a lot of rubbish. And here you can see that you can note that you have surface water, groundwater, drinking water. Few important differences exist between pharmacology and ecopharmacology. Concerning the number of compounds, here you have maybe one or more than one or few, but you know exactly which compounds you give to your patients. Here you have an unknown cocktail of different compounds. You don't know what you get. From the pharmacological point of view, we are still looking for stable compounds, chemically stable. In the case of ecopharmacology, the compound should be really degradable. More quick they are degradable, better it is for the ecosystem. Administration is on demand. controlled. Here is diffuse. You get everything without any control. Wanted effects, side effects, active wanted effects, okay? Wanted effects in human are often most important side effects on environment. If you give a drug, an S inhibitor to a patient, the effect is a pharmacologic effect, is a positive one in men, but if you get that effect through the environment, it's becoming a toxic effect, because especially if you don't need antihypertensive drugs. The quantity is huge. There is no necessity to just to see the figure. Now we try to. I will explain in the remaining part what is going on in the world concerning this issue. I was saying before that Sweden is certainly in a top position. And a few years ago, the Swedish government commissioned to MPA. MPA is the Drug National Agency for Sweden, to investigate. But there is also a social historical reason. In Sweden, the Green people, the Green Party, has been always very powerful. And also in Germany was very powerful, but in Germany was not such efficient like in Sweden. And he was very able to convince politicians to take care of environment impact. And they commissioned to MPA to investigate environment effect of pharmaceuticals, present protocols or measures to reduce environment effects on the products, investigate how information about content, the quantities of chemical substances in these products can be improved, made more easily available, investigate the just. They started to look after different problems. And they looked the environment hazard, the risk assessment, in 27 drugs which were selected. The 27 drugs were the most used drugs in Sweden at that time. Here you have the drugs. You can see that they are very popular drugs everywhere, atenolol, etc., etc. If somebody wants, has the possibility to get the whole presentation, it's possible. Yeah, okay. Here you have the result for the related to these 27 drugs. I will show you the conclusion. The risk for a very, very objective conclusion, very correct in my opinion. The risk for acute toxic effects in the environment is unlikely. Chronic environment toxic effects cannot be excluded due to the lack of chronic ecotoxicity data, which are very difficult to have. Reduction of potential environment impact should be based on knowledge on chronic ecotoxic effects. The environment impact of drugs should be further studied, and more attention is needed. And this last phrase is related to the precautionary principle we were talking before. This is an important point because it is an admission of importance to use a precautionary approach to this kind of problem. Still in Sweden, the Swedish Association of Pharmaceutical Industry, which is very collaborative in Sweden, differently from in other places, is planning for by 2010 to have assessed environmental risk for all pharmaceutical being marketed in Sweden. In 2 years or 3 years, all the map will be ready. Again, this is a message from the Stockholm City Control, which is dedicated to this kind of problem. Therefore, caution is advisable. When you make an environmental risk assessment, you should consider in the Stockholm people have considered two approaches. One related to environment risk, another one related to environment hazard. The environmental risk is made considering the ecotoxic risk to the aquatic environment. Why aquatic environment? Because in the aquatic environment, the most drugs are located. And the other one is related, the environmental hazard is related to the intrinsic toxic characteristics of the substance which could damage the environment. Let's go on. There is a nice formula looking at the environmental risk. They consider the ratio between predicted environment concentration of the substance, PEC, and they are able to predict roughly this watching the consumption or the prescription, different methodologies, and the highest concentration of the substance that does not have an harmful effect on either of three aquatic organisms. And these are the three aquatic organisms, an alga, a flea, and a fish. Watching this ratio, they were able to divide to find a different level of risk. PEC-PNEC, okay? The risk they consider it insignificant if the ratio is less than 0.1, low between 0.1 and 1, moderate between 1 and 10, high between more than 10. And we have here some results. No, results we can see later. Just a few words concerning the environment hazard. PBT is the beginning of persistence, bioaccumulation, and toxicity. And they focused in this index. The characteristics of the substance are damaging are persistence, ability to resist degradation in the aquatic environment, bioaccumulation, accumulation in adipose tissue of aquatic organisms, toxicity, potential to poison aquatic organisms. For any of these, for each of the characteristics, persistence is assigned a numerical value between 0 and 3. In the end, the maximum you can get is 9. The PPD index can assume values in interval. If you want more information, because it can become a little boring, more information, you can get there. You can go there. But we should not forget that also European Parliament has worked on this. And now, environmental risk assessment is part of a marketing authorization application when we have an European registration. But this should be very good, but there is something else to say that we still the Directive 27, evaluation of the potential environmental risk posed to the medical products. This impact shall be assessed and on case-by-case basis, specific arrangements to limit it shall be advised. In easy words, there is a directive saying to drug companies, if you want to register a drug at European level, you must present also the environment impact of this drug. This is okay. But there is nothing more or less after. The impact can be no good, can be, I hope, no awful, but can be bad. And the only possibility is to, case by case, to reach specific arrangements to limit the things. It means it's something without head, differently from the veterinary position. But I hope and I feel that it will be a question of time anyway. And why this? This is a very, very nice explanation. With this Erkki Liikanen, is a member of the European Commission. The possible effects of the use of medicinal products on the environment are important. The question needed to be addressed carefully, as at the end of the day, the availability of certain medicine was at stake. The compromise amendments, which require an environmental impact assessment and possibly mitigating measures, but leave the criteria for granting the marketing authorization untouched, is to be seen as a well-balanced solution. That is really the best that can be done. Is a hypocrisia solution. What is happening at veterinary level? We have this legislation forbids product authorization when the environment risk is unacceptable and the managing the risk is not possible. This should be the ideal level also for human medicines. But maybe in a few years we will reach this point. Why for veterinary and not for men? Maybe because for men the market is more important. Okay, because now I think you are becoming a little tired. Just to show you some interesting results from the Swedish study. Allopurinol, you can see here. These are 9 drugs, the most interesting drugs from this point of view, and the risk assessment is from moderate, high, moderate. For these 9 drugs, these results show that we should look after to the use of these drugs to humans. Some suggestions from the results, but we will not discuss these. You will find on my slides. In 10 minutes, I will present a different way to approach things. We can approach the situation dividing in 3 different times. Short-term approach. Short-term approach means effluent treatment. Effluent treatment, here you have an example in Italy. You have an example here in Italy showing in different towns. Here on the left side, you have the STP effluent. On this side, you have the STP effluent. You can see that there is a certain degree of removal. The efficiency depends on place by place. But what we can see, maybe except in the case of Varese, the removal efficiency is very poor. This is an indication that what is done with normal filters is not really the most efficient. And a short term, that is the way to do. That is the way to do, convincing the local politicians, local administrators, that is an important point for the population. Just talking of drugs, yes, you have a group removal rate of 30-60, here you have 0, nothing, 10, and this slide shows that the removal rate is except a few cases, is very poor. Just to show the difference between here you have the list of drugs you have seen before, and here you have a concentration nanogram liter after filters, in the case of ofloxacin, 600. In the Lambro River, is an Italian river, I think is one of the most dirty river in the, not only in Italy, in the world. You have this level, 50%, it's not bad. In the Po River, much less, 120. But that is another but this slide shows very simply that you have different levels of reduction. First one is after the filter. And when the drugs goes to the river water, to the lake water, maybe to the seawater, ocean water, you have always a big reduction in quantity. But this doesn't mean be happy. The different concentration in the environment, you see, watch it. If we start from the seawater, you have very, very little amount. If you go to drink water, surface water, and wastewater, you have the maximum. But if you go to, think, drink water 10 nanograms liter, if you drink water all life, if you, is, I insist, the precautionary principle could be followed in these kind of things. Mid-term approach can be considered education. Education, training, creating public awareness, and to push, to teach that drugs must be used only when they are necessary and in a rational way, in a correct way. If we go on to use drugs without any limitation, without any rational use, that can be a problem. This is a first problem. A second problem is when there is, I read a recent study, an American study, the data were the result of on 500 of people. Was a study on drugs out of use, kept home. Approximately 80% of these people were throwing away in the loo, in the water, in the rubbish. Only 15% was taking drugs to the pharmacy. This is another point. No, also in Europe, I think the situation is quite similar. Long term, this is the part maybe more interesting as approach. And the most pen is related to green chemistry. Professor Moore just spent a few words on this. Anyway, the green chemistry must be considered as a design of chemical products and processes, not only products, also processes. Processes means during the synthesis, starting from the beginning. Just to give you an idea, not to use the solvents which are used now, in the most part of cases, come from the petrol, from the petrol. There is the possibility to use solvents coming from no petrol. A plastic bag, if you leave a plastic bag on the ground, is destroyed spontaneously in more than 100 of years. A plastic comes from the petrol. And all the petrol material, to destroy petrol material, you need a long time and also with a big contamination of environment. And processes to reduce or eliminate the use and generation of hazardous substances. Discovery and application of new chemistry technology leading to prevention reduction of environment has impact at source, at the beginning. To stop to the synthetic way for a drug is a long way. And in this way, the drug companies are using many solvents. The solvents, the problem is how to eliminate the solvents without problem for the environment. In my knowledge, at least two drug companies are operating from this point, on this point of view. One is AstraZeneca, and another one is AstraZeneca in UK as a research, and another one is GlaxoSmithKline still in UK. I think they have been clever enough to find that is the future way to go on. New compounds are effective. Okay, you need to have effective compounds and readily degradable in the environment. Okay, this is another important point. An example with a structure that you know very well, benzene. No biodegradable. If you put a phenol, the benzene becomes biodegradable. It means that there is also the possibility now to change the structure with radicals, in the case is an oxidryl, to change the radical, to change, in this way we could change this kind of characteristics of the drug. Of course, after we must show that the substance is still active and all these kind of things. But as a possibility, can be done chemically, no, with no big difficulties in any chemical laboratory. After, I want to end because also I am a foreign member of the Académie Nationale de Pharmacie, and just June of this year, a commission of this Académie has finalized a very interesting report, and I suggest, okay, we do not speak, but I suggest if you are interested, to go to the, no, this is, no, no, just I want to, just to go back. Yes, sorry. Very interesting report, that one of French. Give a look. And there are also, finally, in the end, there are also very, very nice suggestions, also practical suggestions, not... no, we can stop here. Okay. The interpretation is very easy. Thank you very much. That is, from that, tap water. Grazie.
You didn't say anything about the alligator.
Ah, yes, you're right. Alligators is the key point. It's always me suggesting alligators because this alligator in Florida, full of alligators, lakes are full of alligators there. And I think, if I remember correctly, the name of the head of the group is Gillette or Gillette. But it must be not really... Okay, but you will decide if he's good or not in the mind. What this group with his boss did? Because the lakes there are full of estrogens. And there is no change of water. Or very little change of water. It's not enough to change, to throw away all the estrogens. 500 millions of women reverse slowly and gently estrogens in the water. They decided to test the effect of estrogens in male alligators. But the system is very interesting, measuring the penis of the alligators. Alligator is not the best animal in the world, they eat. If you touch the penis, I think it becomes furious. It depends. If it's a female alligator, maybe he enjoys. But Gillette is not, I don't think it's enjoyable for the alligator. But in the end, they found, but there is some controversy in this. Because it looks not very easy to measure this organ because they keep secret inside. You must... You know, this is the alligator, you must put the alligator in this way, you must, I don't know what to do, some manovration. But they found a smaller penis for the alligators from this lake, in comparison with other lakes with a bigger change of water. This is very interesting information. And Professor Moore was very impressed for this, but he was right. Just a point. There is also a practical important point from what we just talking about. If talking not green drugs, but the existing drugs, if you have, the suggestion may be, if you have two, we say, S inhibitors, the pharmacological profile, from the efficacy, very similar. But one is biodegradable, the other one, no. Suggestion is to prescribe the biodegradable product. This is just talking of today. Just to make an example, a practical example. Why not? But I think we should plan for the future some collaborative work on this, because we are both linked, we have good chemical departments. We have both big hospitals, both in Bordeaux and in Verona. Another important point that we are just, for instance, between him and I, in collaboration for many other things. I think we could think to plan something. There should be something I believe could have a very good impact on the society also. In comparison to the human, because veterinary problems started earlier. This is my point. They started much earlier. This issue related to humans is a few years. And also because there is, I think another point is to be considered. In relation to the two animals, to veterinary, you see the result. If something is wrong, the animal dies. With in relation to you, to men, things are more soft, more. This difference explains also why we should consider the precautionary principle for the moment. With the time, maybe the principle will change, but at the moment, I think a basic approach is a precautionary principle, different from the toxicologists. About the milk, I'm a wine man, not milk man. But I think anyway, just for the milk problem is because the cows, of course.
On donne aux vaches des.
Yes.
On les récupère dans le lait. Je disais Mathieu, ça donne des allergies.
Just I forgot. And this is a booklet I should suggest you. It's from Sweden. Also this one. Are both from the. From the Swedish workers, and this is the result of the Académie Nationale de Pharmacie, Médicaments et Environnement, just ready June this year.